Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a mundane conversation about mundane things, hopefully for many of you. Thank you for joining us. I'm Marco Timpano, and we're picking up where we left off from last week's episode with Nidhi Khanna, you know, one of the fan favorite, one of my favorite. The person who started the podcast with me has joined us back, and she's always a delight, and she has mentioned many times that she wants to do more episodes, and when her time permits, she's going to be joining us. So it's quite, we're really fortunate to have her. And we left off talking about games that we both had played, but I start the conversation in a totally different direction. So I think that is a great starting point for this particular episode, and you'll hear from both of us on a wide variety of topics. That's one of my favorite things to actually talk about when the episode bounces from topic to topic, and I think you're going to find that in this particular episode. So I hope you enjoy it, and I hope, of course, you enjoy what Nidhi has to say. And I'm going to start it off with a question. Are you a fan of rainy days?
You know what? I do enjoy them. Like, once you've had enough sunny days, it's nice to have just a rainy day because it's such an excuse to do nothing. Mm-hmm. Right? And just curl up, have a warm beverage, read a book, blanket, pillow, fall asleep in the middle of the day. So I enjoy rainy days for the pure laziness of it.
I'm a big fan of rainy days too. Yeah, I particularly love a rainy day in a place that's used to rainy days. Mm. So, for example, if you're in parts of England or parts of the west coast of Canada where it tends to rain more, they're prepared. They've got their umbrella system really, you know, worked out.
Down pat.
They know how to dress for it. They know to look out for when it's going to rain. They look at weather apps and whatnot. And I find when I'm around that kind of system, or that kind of, like, even when we were in Oregon and people were just ready for rain, I'm like, I'm cool with this. I could do this.
See, I like rain in tropical climates.
Okay.
Like, I don't like the damp, cold rain of the climates that you're talking about, but like tropical climates where it just rains and there's something really, like, the smell of it, and it's like dewy and right. Yeah, I miss that.
Sure,
I could do that.
Are you a good driver in the rain?
Oh, good question. So I've had to drive sort of the Toronto Montreal route many, yes, many times, just about 6 hours. And so I've gone through all sorts of weather over the years driving that route, and heavy rain has been one of them. And the first time I did it, I didn't know what I was doing, to be honest. Like, until you experience that level of like snowfall or rain where you can't see in front of you. But then I figured out the whole blinker system, and it's like, you can't stop. You got to just keep going, you know, because it's like you're eventually going to outpace the weather system. But the biggest mistake that you can make in some of those situations is to just stop.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a
No, sorry.
It's like a tornado or something, then stop, you know. Like,
right.
Please don't use any of this for actual advice on how to drive in inclement weather.
You are a good driver. That's what I want our listeners to know. Not only are you a good driver, I can tell you're from Montreal because you can do a parallel park like it.
Like no one's business.
But not only no one's business, but you can gauge that your car will fit in the smallest spot. And that to me is always a sign of someone who's driven in Europe or in other parts of the right. world outside of North America, where we tend to have really big and people, you know, people will take up like they'll do the worst parking job ever and leave no room for anyone else to get in because they need 9 feet like on each other's side.
Yes. Yes.
But you can park on a dime. You're just really good. You get close to the curb on your first shot. You're not going in and out. You're like, I got this. And you're a very confident driver, which makes the passenger feel very confident as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I would drive with you anywhere.
Oh, Marco, that means so much to me. Actually, I was like, someone was asking me the other day, like, if you ever had children, what advice would you give them about certain things? And I was like, you know, one of the pieces of advice I would give them is like, you cannot have a car that you can't parallel park.
Yeah.
So if you want to have some luxury vehicle, you better park that thing properly.
Yes.
Otherwise, you get a small car and you park your small car. But if you can't parallel park the car, because I had a friend once who every time we would drive together, like the car was too big, like big with what car. She was comfortable with.
Too much car for what they could handle.
Too much car. Yep. Yes. And so in the middle of the street, she would get out and make me parallel park her car. And I was like,
goodness.
you can't have this car. Like, you're not allowed to have this car anymore. Like, if you cannot park your car, get a smaller car.
Can you drive standard?
No, actually, you were going to teach me one point.
Yeah, I'll teach you anytime because you would be a great standard driver based on.
I've always wanted
you'd
to.
You'd be really great. You'd be really great. Have you driven in England or in countries where you drive on the opposite side of the street than what you're used to?
I haven't done that, and I'm a little bit scared about that. I mean, I probably could and easily get to, like, it's just practice, right? But it's also, I would just need to make sure that I am so super aware all the time. And to be honest, sometimes when I'm driving, it's like left and right are very automatic, right? And so when I'm in England, even as a pedestrian, if they didn't have those on the crosswalks they have like look left or look right. Cause I think they've learned that too many people are like getting mowed down because they don't know what way to look. And so if they didn't have that, there were so many times where I stepped into traffic and I'm like, wrong way.
Listen, I need to make an apology to everyone who lives in London from Heathrow to downtown London because I once rented a standard car. I can drive standard. So we got to London and I'm like, listen, we'll rent a car. Why spend so much money on other forms of travel? At that time, Uber and those other services weren't available. So we would have had to take a lot of trains and buses and whatnot. So I was like, well, let's just rent. I can drive standard because it was cheaper to get the standard vehicles because in Europe they tend to drive more stick. And so we're like, yeah, we're not going to pay the extra for the automatic, which I should have. And then driving on the opposite side of the street than you're used to. I hate it when people say the wrong side because it's not wrong for, you know, half the world. So
true.
Nitty. And the problem was I got the car at Heathrow. So it's not like I'm on some little.
Yeah, you're not in the country starting on some country road where no one's around. You're like in the busiest area of M system, I guess.
You're going from Heathrow to London, like to downtown, and you're like, and you're on these major highway streets. And I was like, it's one of the scariest things I've ever had to do. And I couldn't look at signs because I said to myself,
because you have to be so, yes.
I had to be so aware of driving and
yes.
and using the stick on the opposite side and making sure that I didn't drift too much into the lane that I wasn't used to, that I said to Amanda, you have to navigate because I cannot look at signs. You just got to tell.
And was this pre-GPS, like phone would tell you what to do?
No, we had that going on too, but still it was like, it was one of the most difficult things, and I will never do it again. And I just need to apologize to any of the listeners who happened to live between Heathrow and London and downtown, I was that guy, and I'm sorry, and I would get on the roundabouts.
Oh, the roundabouts are the worst, because it's like, first of all, you're driving on the opposite side, so you're so aware of that. Mm-hmm. But then, like, you have to, like, the roundabouts that we have here, which are few and far between, are like, because they wanted to put a little garden in the middle of, like, the intersection, and so it's a one lane, you know, you don't have to do much. You're just kind of turning, like a semi-turn.
They're really basic. And I think
anyone
who lives in countries that know how to use a rotary or a roundabout would look at them and say, what is this?
This is a joke. And so get onto the roundabout, and then it's like, what are the rules of the roundabout? Because it's like, okay, so I need to get to three quarters to the exit, like three quarters of a circle away. So when you enter the roundabout, you're not supposed to stay in the – I don't know what lane you're supposed to be in.
You have to be in the right lane. And what I would do is I would get in the roundabout and I would just circle it until – like I would just be like, I can't take the – like you need to tell me which exit because I don't have time to figure it out in time. So I would just be going in a circle and she would – and Amanda would be like, the third exit. And I'd be like, you got to help me.
Well, now we don't know which one the third is.
We would have to follow cars. She's like, follow the yellow car. And I would just follow the yellow car because
– oh, my goodness.
I sound like such a degenerate here on this podcast. But I apologize once again. Here's the thing. You should have to do a test before they give you a car to drive on streets that you're not used to on the opposite side of the street. It shouldn't be, oh, you can drive? Yeah, sure. Take a vehicle and go on in a system that you don't understand. You should have to do a little bit of training before they allow you to do it, whether it be an online thing that you know the rules of that country. Before you're given a car, I think that would make everyone's life much better.
Or you can just take the Heathrow Express and go from Heathrow to London.
You know what? From now on, I'll tell you, my listeners in countries where you drive on the left versus the right, I will take your transit system. I will pay extra. I will not be doing any of that. So I learned my lesson. Oh my goodness, Nitty. Well, I don't know. Before we go, I want to say this. So we have these really basic roundabouts here that are really like you said, basically a garden, just a way to be a garden. And people still don't know how to use them.
No, I know. There's still accidents that happen. It's
people approach them. They don't know what to do. They drive through them. It's just, I've seen so many things when I see these roundabouts. I'm like people will go out of their way to avoid them. And it's like, guys, we just need to learn how to use them right. And it'll make traffic go so much quicker. No.
I mean, we don't do well on even just straight highways sometimes. So
is there a luxury vehicle you would like to get? I'm going to end it on something like that because I know you like luxurious things. And maybe
but not with vehicles.
Oh, really?
So here's the thing. Yeah. Actually, also, I mean, I don't know if I love luxurious things.
You do.
I love
bougie things. One of our fan favorites is the bougie. All right. What are the essentials that you need in your car? Be them luxurious or not? What are like your top five must-haves in a vehicle?
Water.
No, but I mean when you're buying it, not that you bring.
Oh, when vehicle, I'm buying.
That the vehicle must have.
Okay, I see. Seat warmers.
Yes.
I mean, my car is so old now. My car is like a 2011 Mazda 2. So when we talk about the bottom of luxury, this is pretty much it.
I drive a 2008. I don't even have a proper. So let's not go there. Yours is luxurious. For me, yours is
right.
A modern.
Everything is perspective. You're right. I would want it to have like now, if I were to buy a new vehicle, it would have to have like the GPS computer thing inputted.
Yes. Love it.
Also my friend got a Tesla and I sat in it and it was so confusing because not confusing, but, like everything's on the computer. Like there's no odometer. Right. There's no, like it's all completely clean. And then it's just this computer. And I was very weirded out by it, but I'm an old school, put my odometer where it should be. Then I would want to have, like a proper Bluetooth. Mine is kind of basic. I would want it to... Oh, you know what I would want is like to have the sun visors that are also in the back.
What?
So that when you're on, like,
I've never heard of this.
So my parents' car used to have like an old, old car from when I was a kid. I just remember that when we used to go on long trips, there was a way for the visor to also be in the, like it was on the back seat as well. So the passenger, if there was sun coming into your eyes on the side, you could put the visor up.
Oh, wow.
So that would be kind of neat. And I don't know. Like, I'm actually like very basic with my car. Like, okay. I don't need tinted windows. I don't need fancy rims. I don't even want like a big car. I want a small car that I can putter around with, sure, that fits anywhere, that if I get a dent in it, I'm not going to be freaking out. Yeah.
That's the thing that about living in the city, right? You're going to get a dent. So, you know, you almost want to buy a car that has a pre-dent in it, so your first dent doesn't hurt
completely,
as much.
Yeah, completely. I'm like, this car is going to be worth half its value in a matter of days anyway. Mm-hmm. So I never have been into like the big kind of luxury vehicles. Now, if someone gave me a luxury vehicle, would I say no? Of course not.
Right.
But I also like hatchbacks because you don't have to worry about your back bumper as much. Like, you can park it a lot easier.
I imagine as a serious scuba diver, a hatchback is an essential sort of tool when you're going to dives and whatnot. Or a Jeep.
We usually use a truck.
We usually use a truck. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because of tanks and stuff like that.
Right.
But,
okay. So clearly.
But you're right. Hatchbacks too.
Clearly I'm a novice. It's like, no, we use trucks. I don't know what kind of scuba diving you do. That sounds like snorkeling. It sounds like you're a snorkeler, but I use a truck. Thank you very much.
I use a truck. However, people do use hatchbacks. You're right. Or cars of any kind.
Listen, do you ever use your trip counter?
Good question. I do not. Okay. I'm not a big trip. Like, I prefer to have the, what do I have actually? I have the total kilometers driven.
I see. See, okay, let me give you one of my hacks. Use it if you wish, ignore it if you don't, okay? I'm not trying to trip-splain anyone. I use the trip, you know how if you hit the trip, I don't know what's called, but that trip feature, you press the button and it zeroes it, right?
Yeah.
Whenever my empty light comes on, so like gas, I need gas. I forget what you call that, but you know, the it's time to put gas
indicator.
In.
Yeah.
Thanks. I press my trip counter because I know I have 40 clicks before it's desperate and I really need the gas. So as soon as it comes on, I'll press it just in case I can't get gas as soon as it comes on. I'll know how long I have until my reserve is gone.
Okay. See, I have on my thing, it tells me how many kilometers are left in the...
Okay. So you've got... So your little 2011, all right, seems to be quite fancy compared to my 2008, where I have to desperately press the trip counter in order not to end up on the side of the road.
Well, you know. every year has its own innovation.
It's true. Oh, my goodness. Oh, isn't that funny, though? Like, talking about cars, like, there's some people who are so into cars that if you talk to them about cars, they can tell you like the things that must have. And for me, it's like, I just need more cup holders. I don't have enough cup holders in my car.
You know what? That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Cup holders, like any of the accessory type things, you know.
You know the thing to put your glasses?
Yeah.
They don't give us enough, because if there's two people driving, you have glasses and sunglasses and they have glasses. Yeah. And it's like, how am I supposed to fit all that in there?
Oh, you know, one feature that I would want to get, like a more bougie feature. I don't know if it's actually a bougie feature, but I would want to be able to open my car with my fingerprint.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like unlock it with the fingerprint.
Yeah.
Rather than
have to key
the scent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I will never get a car that doesn't automatically turn off the headlights if you forget them on.
Oh yeah, that's
because I my previous car,
or vice versa.
Right. Yeah. No, I can't. I can't, because I'm the type of person who will forget the lights on once in a while, not all the time, but I've had to have a boost so many times with my previous car because of that. And I was like, how did you design this, that this happens, but I have so many other silly features that go automatic. So anyways, well, that's our episode, Nitty. Thank you so much for taking us on this tour with you.
We really went on a tour. I love it. So nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
I know the listeners love hearing from you. I certainly find it delightful. So thank you. Of course, we want to have you back. So anytime, you just say the word.
I will be there for sure.
Awesome. Until next time, we hope you enjoy this episode. Once again, I'm sorry about the crumpet and English muffin debate. But whatever you enjoy, I hope you enjoy it with a plentitude of jam or butter or whatever it is. And until next time, I hope you're able to listen and sleep.